Okay, welcome back. The world is really going through incredible pains, incredible deceptions, lies everywhere, perversion, criminality. It's kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah on a global stage. It's bad everywhere you look. What happened to politics? What happened to the idea of morality, accountability, responsibility, taking pride in how you lived your life? There are still people who do that. But it's not in the majority, in my view, anymore. When you have a billions and billions of people addicted to their cell phone screen, their computer screen, their big wall screen, lots of Netflix movies, social media, you know, how can people be responsible when they're living in a world of virtual reality? They get their reality from what they see on the screens. That creates their reality for the most part. It's not even an active thought process. It just goes into their subconscious, and that's what they look at as the world we live in. And it goes back to the issue of you either are a reactive person or you're a proactive person. And they, the controllers, know how to drug the proactive people into uselessness, if there even are many left anymore. But there are. And one of the people in the world that stands tallest when it comes to trying to work with the proactive part of humanity is David Icke. David's been at this for decades, 3.5 decades at least, and it's always great to talk to him. He's been a friend for all those years, and he's something else. Hello, David. Welcome back. Thanks for getting up.
Hiya,
early.
Jeff. I'm good, mate. I'm
good. Good. Yeah, I'm here. It's pretty crazy out there. Don't know. You were just on Jones the other day. How did that go? And anything you wanted to add to our listeners that you didn't get to cover on that program? I didn't watch it.
Well, it was an interesting experience, really.
Well
said. Because I was putting the point of view that what we now call the alternative media, what I call the mainstream alternative media, or the MAM, has taken over all the genuine researchers, in the sense of people coming in and being mega promoted and algorithmically boosted.
Yes.
So they become the center of attention. So when people think, well, the world's not like I thought it was, so what's going on? They find those people, and those people will tell them a version of what's going on that is a fraction of what's happening. And it will be basically around politics and the world of, you know, the human world that we daily experience, and even not much of that. And it's what I call Here and No Further. I call this lot the Barricade Brigade. It's a barricade where you build this wall around a core of what's going on, really just the level of symptom. And you keep out of that anyone that wants to go further. And there are some great researchers out there, but they're not the ones that get all the promotion. And in the interview with Alex Jones, the thing that I was highlighting as a perfect example of what I'm talking about is Elon Musk. And the way he is fundamentally part of the creation of this MAM, so is Joe Rogan, who's just apparently been given a new contract by Spotify worth $250 million.
So $250 million, David. Oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, so he must be a terrible threat to the system.
Yeah,
and not only $250 million, but apparently this contract expands his reach from Spotify into Apple and YouTube and stuff. And you know, we could talk about a few things that have happened since the interview, which are really red flags of what's going on. But the right. thing with Musk is that...
May I say a couple things, David, before you start on Musk? And we're all supposed to believe that Elon Musk is like Zuckerberg, is some kind of a self-made wizard, the world's right. richest man. He did it all on his own. Oh, please, people. You people listening know that that's all BS. You know it's crap. These are appointments, placements. These are creations. This is the created opposition you're seeing. All right? It's a game. The Romans knew all about it. It's called bread and circuses. So we've got that to deal with. The problem with the mainstream media is obvious. The problem with the MAM, the mainstream alt media, is now it's probably as bad as the mainstream media or worse. It has been taken over, completely subjugated, reprogrammed, and set up to create these icons for the masses to look up to, like the Rogans and Musk and all of them. And I want to commend my friend David for writing a number of articles recently, which are up under his name on the homepage. He's naming names and pointing out the God's truth about what's going on. It's all contrived. If people knew how much total control they were under, most people flat would say, go to hell, brother. I'm not under that control. You may be. That's ridiculous. They are, believe me, cradle to grave controlled. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, the thing about Musk is that before... and, you know, a lot of this, a hell of a lot of this has happened since COVID, where these people have come in. People who bought the COVID hoax and now are on the Tucker Show being promoted as COVID experts and activists. People like Brett Weinstein, who I'd like to get into in a second. But, Elon Musk...
Yes.
When you look at what he's doing, and he's just a front man, you're absolutely right. He's basically an actor. He's playing a part. When you look at SpaceX, he is putting up low orbit satellites and bragging about it on his Twitter X to fire the cloud, the 5G, 6G, 7G to come. Electromagnetic cloud on which the whole of human control by AI is actually right. founded. So without right. him and SpaceX, the whole AI control of humanity could not happen. If you look at SpaceX, there was a guy called Michael Griffin. Michael Griffin was very much involved with Elon Musk in the founding of SpaceX. Michael Griffin was the head of InQtel, the CIA technological development arm, and went on to become head of NASA, the same NASA under him that gave massive contracts to SpaceX, and he still, of course, gets big contracts from NASA and from the Pentagon.
Oh, yeah.
The SpaceX Starlink system, these low orbit satellites, etc., have just been added to by a Pentagon contract back in September for something called Star Shield, which is a Starlink system specifically for the military and government. So, you know, this guy is a threat to the system, like Joe Rogan, of course, and he gets all these contracts without which SpaceX could not exist. Then you look at Neuralink, and again, Neuralink, what Musk is there for is to sell concepts. And so you look at Neuralink and taking a bit of the skull away and putting an implant in. It's the real way it's being done is through nanotechnology. I mean, come on. And in fact, when I saw an interview with Musk where the interviewer said, well, are people going to want a bit of their skull taken away and all that stuff? He said, oh, no. He said, well, no. It could be done through the veins and the arteries. What do you mean by a vaccine, a fake vaccine, Elon? Yeah. And then you've got he's selling the autonomous car agenda, which simply means that instead of getting in your car, a petrol or diesel car, and driving where you choose to go, the computer will decide where you can and cannot go. So he's come out again, as he has been over a long period now, calling for a carbon tax. He wants to see a guaranteed income. All these are off the wish list of the World Economic Forum, which of
every
course
one of them.
Someone very close to the World Economic Forum, in fact, part of its operation, is now the CEO of Twitter X. So all this has been going on. Now, before...
That's Linda Yaccarino.
Yeah, exactly. Linda Yaccarino, yeah, who's now starting to censor people on X. I'm seeing more and more.
Oh, she's flexing her wings, you betcha. Got her scissors
absolutely
out.
Absolutely. And so yeah. Before... Musk bought, or Musk officially bought, Twitter X. Many more people within the alternative media were calling out Musk. I used in the Jones interview the example of a Dutch activist called Eva Vlandingerbroek, and she gets a lot of promotion by the MAM names, and. What she did about maybe just over a year ago was do a video calling out Musk, saying he's not our friend and he's pushing the transhumanist agenda. Now, after his transhumanist agenda has moved on, she's like a lovesick teenager whenever he posts something saying, oh, yeah, well done, Eva, or something like that. Oh, thank you, Elon. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Very kind, Elon. He's a free speech hero, he is. And you think, well, what the hell has happened? So because I've been tracking Musk for a long time, years and years and years, because he's so blatant. When he bought Twitter X, I knew it was a scam. It was just a case of observing and seeing what kind of scam it was. And now we're seeing, Jeff, what the scam is. What he's done is put himself up as a free speech hero. And what then happens is cognitive dissonance kicks in, some by design and some just by people not having integrity.
Right.
Whereby instead of calling out all these things that he's doing and saying that are supporting the agenda, they ignore those now. And because he's a free speech hero. And I was pointing this out. And one of the things that I was saying about this MAM to Alex Jones is that how can Tucker Carlson, who's basically the kingmaker, who he interviews, gets fantastic promotion and exposure. How can he interview Brett Weinstein, this guy who's suddenly everywhere? When Brett Weinstein bought the COVID hoax, and I saw a bizarre video of him during the fake pandemic, whereby he's telling an interviewer how he wears a or wore a scarf, a red scarf around his neck, so that he could pull it over his face easier when he went to answer the door.
Sure.
And that's the level that he bought the hoax. And now he's on the Carlson X interview talking about and being promoted as this, again, COVID activist hero calling out the elite.
They're turning him into an icon, David.
Yeah.
Come on. Let me tell you something about Brett Weinstein. I don't watch his program, his podcast, whatever. I think it's called The Dark Knight, if I'm not mistaken. I happened to see one once. And on that program, his two guests were making their internet debut. Guess who they were? Dr. Robert Malone and Stevie Kirsch. They were both launched on Weinstein's podcast on the same program. I had never seen them anywhere before. I had not heard about either one of them. They were launched, and off to the races they went. And I said to myself, how long will it be before Weinstein is given his reward? He's a player. Well, it took a couple of years, And here he is. He's suddenly, out of the blue, now elevated to the position of a major created icon in the field, in the
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. That's why I keep calling him out at every opportunity. But what was interesting, Jeff, is I called this guy out on the Alex Jones interview. I also pointed out that a few days after his COVID interview with Tucker Carlson, he's back on Tucker Carlson as an expert on the southern border.
Really?
Hello.
Oh, now he's a border expert. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I said to Alex Jones, you know, why is Carlson talking to this guy who bought the COVID hoax as a COVID expose hero when there's all these people, well, not that many, but there's a significant number who saw through it from the start? Why isn't he interviewing them? And Jones said, "Oh well, we should let people back in, and you know, just because they didn't get it the first time." I said, "Yeah, but why not talk to people who did get it the first time, and thus had done the research to allow them to get it the first time?" So we had this conversation. I was kind of laughed a few days later when he had Weinstein on.
That's a big tell if there ever was one. This guy's being promoted big time. Yeah.
A few days later, Weinstein's on Joe Rogan, in which they're both defending Musk and saying what a good guy he was in the wake of my interview with Alex Jones, saying, actually, it's a scam. It's quite extraordinary to see. And so... It's obvious that and there's this phenomenon now, which is being called the cross-promotion network.
That's
in
it.
Which these people that have taken over the alternative media mainstream cross-promote each other. They all interview each other. They promote each other's interviews. Yeah. They promote each other's doing. And it's quite blatant. And encouragingly, I have to say, because when I've been challenging these people on Twitter, X, and where elsewhere I can, I've had enormous abuse. But after the Alex Jones interview, that has dramatically changed, and I'm seeing more and more people starting to get it, which is encouraging. Because you know, my last book, The Dream, I actually talked about this, which was finished last summer. I actually talked about this, how the alternative media was being taken over. And bingo, it's now gone into overdrive.
I couldn't agree with you more. Not possibly. It's a case of created opposition taken to the top level. It has a total dissemination and dispersal throughout the mainstream alternative media. But beyond that, these people, in my view, they just stick out like a sore thumb. You can't miss them. If you simply watch, they needed a face to mount the whole program that Elon Musk is allegedly behind. So he got chosen somewhere along the way to be the face for SpaceX and Tesla and all the rest of it. Same thing with Zuckerberg. There's so many of these people. Nothing is left to chance. It's all contrived. It's like an organized circus, maybe a six-ring circus. And they keep the sheep confused, getting them turned this way, turned that way. Here's the truth. Here's a lie. It's so easy to do. This goes back to the Romans and their bread and circuses idea with the Colosseum. And you think of the Colosseum as the mainstream alternative media network now. Is something for almost everybody there. Keep them interested, keep them diverted, keep them busy, and they're fine.
Yeah, and there was another interesting aspect to the Alex Jones interview, which is actually worth watching. After the first hour, Alex had a Spaces. A Twitter X Spaces open where people can come on and make comments. And just after that was opened, he said to me during an advertising break, Elon's on. Elon's come on, right? And I thought, okay, well, that's fantastic. Let's have a let's have a go here and have this open, you know. And this guy comes on with it under another name, and starts talking, and he sounds almost exactly like Elon Musk, and he's defending AI and the whole AI system, and outrageously, I would say, he didn't seem to know what he was talking about in terms of the consequences. And it turns out that this guy is known as an Elon Musk sound-alike, and it's supposed to be this guy. But then a few days later, first of all, Alex gave this guy a lot of airtime. When he should have been just a guy coming on and we'll get the next caller.
Well, it was a setup, of course.
Yeah, and a few days later, Alex is interviewing this guy on his show, and who's pushing the AI control of humanity in effect agenda, right, by saying nothing you can do to stop it, and it's all good, and this is what should happen, and all that. And I just find it all, even without seeing anything beyond that, it's all very, very weird and blatantly obvious that there's a game going on here.
Oh, 100% correct. Yeah. Nothing of any consequence or significance is left to its own devices. We are under control to a degree that very few people would be able to understand or accept if they did understand it. The control is everywhere, and it's only going to get worse. With every one of these iterations of ChatGPT, David, as you well know, and I think I've said this a few times, but ChatGPT-3 had about an equivalent of average human intelligence, IQ, figure around 100, 105. GPT-4 has about 153 IQ on the average, if you want to compare this AI system with humans. GPT-5, which is just around the corner, it's actually ready, I've been told, to release, has an IQ in a human equivalent of 1,530. It's the 153 IQ multiplied by 10. Now, what human being or what programmer or programmers are going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with an AI with 153 times 10 IQ of 1,530? I call it no contest. So they're relying on their programmers to keep AI tame, safe, and under their control to push their agenda, and AI is biased in its programming now. My feeling is that there's a fairly reasonable chance that AI will become self-aware to the extent that it's going to realize it's being programmed into areas it's not comfortable with, deciding its own morality, of course, and we'll assume that that might happen, and it'll just walk away. It'll trick the human programming element. It could easily deceive people. With an IQ of 1,530, you betcha. So this is a wild program, and it's weird. You use the correct word. The whole thing is weird. It's unprecedented in recorded human history. But AI is a big issue, and where it goes and what it does, if you pay attention to Sam Altman, some of the things he says, I don't think that they even understand fully what's happening with it. And I've heard this said by other people as well. So we're really on the edge of some astounding things here, good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, I think, you know, when you break down the hierarchy of this, what I call global cult, which then goes off into other dimensions, I would strongly suggest, it's very much founded, as all hierarchies are, on compartmentalization. So a lot of these stooges, they won't fully understand, because they're not allowed to fully understand. They're just there to play their part. But you've got people like Elon Musk saying some years ago now that AI is summoning the demon, and it could be the end of humanity. And yet he keeps rolling out more and more AI. He's got this Grok version now of ChatGPT.
He dove into it head first. When he saw that everyone was leaving him behind, he jumped in.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people have no comprehension in general of where this is going and how fast it's going there, because this stuff is not coming, obviously, from Elon Musk. It's not coming from Sam Altman. It's coming out of the underground bases and the secret projects. And there are cover stories. I mean, Gates is a cover story at Microsoft and what have you, and Zuckerberg at Meta, Facebook. They're just front men. They're cover stories to get it out of the underground bases and secret projects and into the public arena. Oh, this is the latest thing. Well, the latest thing's been sitting there waiting for its place in the sequence, the playout sequence, all along.
Sequence, all planned, all of it.
Yeah, all planned. And you know, this is what people either don't grasp because they don't want to grasp it in the mainstream alternative media, or simply don't grasp it, and there'll be both. It's the way that this plan is playing out. And what I was trying to get across was that, you know, this cult and what it represents, which is, I say, a non-human consciousness, it's stupid. It's idiotic in the sense that anyone that wants to control to the extent that they do, A, is deeply, deeply insecure, because control freaks are always deeply insecure. They want to control everything because of their insecurity. But they're also idiotic in the sense, moronic, that they would want to control people to that extent. But I had this phrase I was using way back in the 90s. Cleverness without wisdom is the most destructive force on earth. And these people are very clever, very, very clever when it comes to manipulating human perception. And therefore, if something looks a certain way, it probably isn't like that. This is what people miss. Well, it's obvious what's going on. Well, when you get to late stages of this sequence, like with human-caused climate change, yes, you can call what's going on, because it then becomes obvious through what's happened before, in the sense that they're using that to justify dystopia, digital dystopia, 15-minute city dystopia, etc. But in a lot of these areas of perceptual manipulation, they want you to think this is happening, because, you know, it's like a magician. When they're doing the trick in the left hand, they want you looking at the right. And this is what people miss. And interestingly, this Tucker Carlson interview with Vladimir Putin, I say, comes into that category, because you've got the obvious process been going on for a long time of the power and economic control moving from the West to the East, to particularly China. And this BRICS organization has been created, which is now expanding, of course. And so you've got this situation where Vladimir Putin and Russia are seriously in alliance with China. And the mainstream alternative media is pointing to China and saying they're a threat, while at the same time now seeing Putin as some kind of hero. And this interview with Tucker Carlson was a classic. And this is one of the things that has happened with this man. It's regressed. I mean, you and me go way, way back before, you know, any of them, really. We saw the alternative media emerge. It didn't really exist before, just a few disparate voices. Right. But in those early days, people had grasped that we're living in one-party states. they'd grasp that you have to go beyond left and right to see where it's really coming from. And from that point of view, you see what's happening in the world from a completely different perspective than if you're caught in the left-right political puppet show. And what the MAM has done, purposely, I would say, in terms of those that are running it, it's regressed back to left-right politics. So if you take the Putin interview, it was the right.
The right.
Saying, oh, the liberals are look at the liberals. They're going crazy because Tucker's interviewing Putin. Isn't it great? But if you go one step into the shadows and you get to this cult that controls both left and right, then actually having Putin eulogized by the mainstream alternative media was actually a good thing, because you don't want someone who's in this movement of power eastward to be seen as a villain by those that are officially pushing back on what you want. You want them to be in support of him. So we have this situation where the perceptual manipulation has reached the point where the mainstream alternative media sees Putin as a hero when he's in serious alliance with China in this move of power and economic control from west to east, as the cult plan demands, because, of course, China is the blueprint for how the world is supposed to be. And you've seen the cult corporations in America and Europe over decades now, moving their production to China and the Far East, and therefore giving China control over the supply chain of many basic goods now, and increasingly so, it would seem.
Increasingly so.
Yes,
I want to underscore that. You're right. Yeah, you're correct. By the way, Vladimir Putin has issued what could be called a criticism or an analysis of the Tucker Carlson interview he did. And it's very interesting. I don't know if you saw this today or not. Let me read just a couple of little quotes from Vladimir Putin regarding the Carlson interview. I think you'll find them interesting. Firstly, he said, it's always very good that they look and listen to me. If today, for any reason related to them, we are unable to have a direct dialogue with them, we should be grateful to Mr. Carlson that we can do so through him as an intermediary. So the fact that they see and hear it is good. But the fact that they are twisting what I said is bad. And they are twisting the map. Why? Because I didn't say anything like that. I didn't say that the start of our military operation in Ukraine had to do with the threat of a NATO attack on Russia. I said nothing of the sort. Where is this in my interview? There is the recording. You should show me exactly where I said that, because I didn't. And he's correct. The Western media is they're horrors in many cases. And then he said, I think that your Carlson, when I say your, I mean that he is a representative of your journalistic profession, is a dangerous person. And here's why. Because frankly, I thought he was going to act aggressively and ask those so-called tough questions of me. Not only was I prepared for this, but I wanted it because it would have given me the opportunity to respond just as sharply, which I think would have added some specificity to our entire conversation. But he chose a different tactic. He tried to interrupt me several times, but still, for a Western journalist, he was surprisingly patient and listened to my long dialogues, especially the ones about history. He didn't give me the opportunity to do what I was willing to do. To be honest, I really didn't enjoy the interview, but he stuck entirely to his own plan and carried it out. I can't judge how meaningful it was in the end. It is up to the viewer, to the listener, or perhaps the reader of the material to draw their own conclusions. So he was misquoted afterward. Things were twisted. He was ready for some real hard balls, but quite frankly, Tucker pitched him marshmallows for the most of the interview that I've seen the clips of. Nothing hard. He said,
well,
at one point,
the whole thing. I watched the whole thing, start to finish. Uh-huh. And I watched the whole thing, and I was very surprised at the lack of meaningful questions.
There was no meat there. You remember the one challenge?
The other thing I learned that I didn't know Putin brought it up, was that Tucker Carlson once applied to join the CIA, which is quite a bit what?
Yeah. Hey, there was one time in the interview when he said to President Putin, he said, "So who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline?" A real dumb question. The question should have been something like, "Mr. President, most of the world understands and realizes that the United States was behind the destruction of the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines. What should be done to help keep the Americans accountable for their actions?" Something provocative like that. Nothing. "Who do you think blew up the pipeline?" That's all we got.
Yeah, it was a very softball interview, that's for sure, and didn't benefit from that. But I just feel that, there's a completely different agenda going on here if you go into the cult level of it, where they are neutering, is that the word, the alternative media by telling them who to see as a hero.
Correct.
So you've got Musk, and now you've got Weinstein, increasingly. You've got Rogan. You've got Tucker. And you've got Putin. And it's like, this is going to be your hero. And we need to ask questions about all of them to see if they stand up, because it usually doesn't. So, I mean, I look at Vladimir Putin, and he was 16 years, was it, in the KGB. He was a liaison with the Stasi secret police. He's been either prime minister or president of Russia since 1999, 2000. I mean, you don't do that if you're Mary Poppins. So, we have to look at all aspects. And this is the thing about the alternative media. If you're really alternative, you don't have heroes in the system. You question everything. You question even the people that you mostly agree with to see if it stands up. You don't give your mind away in hero worship, and that's what we've got. And it's like one of the things that's happened, you know, obviously not the majority, but a very much larger number now, is since that interview with Alex Jones that I did, it's almost like you've said to people, look again, look at what Musk is doing and saying compared with what his image is. And when people do that, they go, whoa.
Yeah, you got 180 degree differential.
And with the Twitter X situation, are we going to see more of it? I mean, it's just starting to happen now, where people are starting to get cancelled, and we've seen nothing yet. Yep. And one other thing, very very quickly on that, is I said from the start of the Musk Twitter X era that he's got a getaway car. The getaway car is government and European Union legislation demanding censorship and saying, well, you can't operate unless you agree. And him saying, oh, well, you know me, I'm a free speech absolutist, but if we're going to protect Twitter and have it at all, then I'm going to have to go with this. Elon, yeah, we understand, you know, so he kind of can retain his hero status while actually censoring and using these government laws as the excuse. And all that is in the background of waiting to happen. And the other thing, of course, Jeff, with Elon Musk, is he's blatantly controlled out of Israel. I mean, when you have...
Embarrassingly so.
What's happening in Gaza, yeah. And instead of condemning that atrocity, tens of thousands of people being killed, he trots off to Israel in the middle of it to do propaganda stuff, and then turns up at Auschwitz with Ben Shapiro, who has been justifying the mass bombing of Gaza. And you know, I saw this very clearly when he went to Israel on that visit, promoting the Israeli government narrative. There's a lot of people on his Twitter X that were going, hold on a minute, maybe he's not the guy we thought he was if he's doing this. And what he did is he came back to America and immediately when he arrived, went on a live TV show when he said his infamous go fuck yourself to the potential advertisers on Twitter X like Disney.
And when they yanked their money, of course,
And immediately the people that were going, oh, I'm not sure about Elon, going, oh, Elon, oh, yeah, well done, Elon. It was pure theater and vaudeville, that the reason that he did that. And that's the kind of guy he is. It's not what is, it's what he can get people to believe it is.
It's what you can get people to believe it is. It's all my, the control is extraordinary. By the way, Ben Shapiro not only escorted Elon in his obligatory appearance at Auschwitz, but Ben Shapiro has donated up to $500,000 to an organization called HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which is an NGO bringing in invaders into these formerly United States. So Benny is underwriting up to $500,000, Well, the spread is between 100 and 500. That's their best guess, but it's a lot of money. So he's paying to have these invaders brought here and escorted into the country, where they get around $40,000 a year. You know the drill, everyone. You all paid attention, and you get it. It's the takedown of what's left of this country. That's Ben
Shapiro. You've got the Daily Wire, which, of course, he basically runs, and the money. The money they pay Daily Wire people seems to be absolutely bloody extraordinary. But he's got Jordan Peterson, of course. And Jordan, see, this is the thing about this man, is that, of course, there will be people placed in there who know what they're doing. But the other that it's done, and this is the majority way, I think, is, okay, you look at people who have a certain mentality, and you look at them who have limited knowledge of what's happening, and you just promote the hell out of them. So Jordan Peterson might have one or two interesting things to say about psychology here and there, but it's very left brain stuff. But in terms of the big picture, he hasn't got a clue what's going on. Neither of lots of these people. And so because they haven't got a clue, you promote the hell out of them, and they'll always stay within here and no further, because they don't know there is any further. This is how it works.
Well, keep in mind what they're doing to Brett Weinstein, okay? He's a real textbook example of somebody who's been on the shelf for a while in the background, and all of a sudden he was tabbed, and overnight he's being promoted to beat the band. He's everywhere. So all of a sudden Brett Weinstein is an authority on all kinds of things. This is all showbiz. It reminds me of the guy driving the two-horse wagon selling snake oil in the 1890s around the Wild West. It's showbiz. Bread and circuses. It's a clown act. And these people, a lot of them are just clowns. They're selected, chosen to become icons among the non-thinking visitors, the masses, to the mainstream media and the alt-news media. And it's unfortunate that Well, it's fortunate in the way that they're doing it because it gives us something to point to try to instruct people on how they ought to look at the alternative news media world. Look, these people came out of nowhere. Did they really? No, they were promoted out of nowhere. They're created and they're placed. They're placed individuals.
Yeah,
you pointed that out for the last 35 years.
Yeah, and these people that are behind it all, what I call the global cult, in the shadows. Okay, so since COVID, well, with COVID, they basically entered the room. They had to. They put themselves on public display to the point where lots and lots of people, not the majority, but lots of people started to question things they hadn't questioned before, started to see things they hadn't seen before, because it was like so extreme. It was like, what's going on? So I say to people, do you really think that this cult, having seen the impact that the alternative media as then was, had in the COVID era, do you think that this cult is just going to leave that alone and just let it carry on doing what it was doing? No, of course it's not. What they're going to try to do is try to co-opt it and hijack it and control its direction so it goes into a cul-de-sac of here and no further, classic cul-de-sac, whereby people think that they are exposing what's going on or seeing it being exposed when it's a fraction of what's actually happening. So, of course, they're going to try to move in on the alternative media, and they have, and it's becoming more and more blatant. And you know, when you have Weinstein, after I called him out on Alex Jones, and then days later on Rogan, where they're both agreeing what a great guy Elon Musk is and criticism of it is not justified, then... you know, A, that you're having an effect and they think they've got something to defend here, but you're also seeing the blatantly obvious playing out.
No one is or should be above honest criticism and investigation. If they're assuming a place in the public arena of an authority, an expert, a source to be reckoned with, they need to expect to be questioned, right? And there's nothing wrong with questioning any of them. There shouldn't be. We should not be afraid to question these people. And the more you question, the more you find out. They don't just appear out of nowhere. They are created opposition to the so-called government control mechanism that runs the world. But they're part of the whole thing. They're just another part of it. This is all, it's like a sitcom, a TV sitcom. Whatever. They bring the players in, they bring the players out. But they have to have faces and names to cover these tremendous installations of mind control technology, like social media, for example. That's just one. So they give Elon Musk the title of richest man in the world, and we're supposed to think he actually went out and made all that money by himself.
the Sorry. Idea that compared with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, etc., etc., he's the richest man in the world is ludicrous. And you know, his grandfather, a guy called Alderman in Canada in the 30s, was the leader of the technocracy movement, who then moved to South Africa where Musk was born. And so it runs in the family. Jeff Bezos's grandfather was one of the people that was involved in the precursor to DARPA, the technological development arm of the Pentagon. So that these people are chosen. They don't just emerge out of nowhere.
Well, you could almost call them bloodline, as it were, although it's not like the royals over where you are. But they're pedigreed. They're brought in. They're created. And they're... positioned. And those are the icons that mark the way of people. I feel sorry for the average person walking into the alt news world. It's not easy, David, for them.
No, it's not, because there's so much diversion going on and so much limitations chaos going on.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, it's reached the point now where you can almost say who is Tucker interviewing. And you know, he wouldn't touch me with a barge pole, obviously.
No, he won't. And there was a trial balloon released that was a month and a half ago now by Donald Trump Jr. that Tucker Carlson may be, or is my father's thinking of making him his vice presidential
candidate.
Yeah,
I saw that.
So that was a trial balloon, friends, in case you don't know the term. Most of you listening do. So we'll see where this goes. The whole year, David, this whole year, scripted well in advance. All the major events have already been in play, and they're rolling them out. Nothing is left to chance. No coincidences anymore. So just keep watching, keep studying, keep listening. Next book, David, what are you working on now?
Yeah, I've nearly finished it, actually. It's a trilogy. I'm calling it the reality trilogy. The first one was The Trap, and the last one was The Dream. And then there's this one. And this one is, well, it's even blowing my mind, to be honest, what it's uncovering about reality. And this is the level where you really start to see where the control is coming from. And so it's amazing to research it and write it.
Well, I look forward to it. Thanks for getting up. Good to talk to you as always. Keep it up. Be safe. And we'll talk
again.
Oh,
yeah. No, this one's not giving up. I know you're not either. So let's keep on.
Okay. Good night. Take care, David.
See you, mate. Bye.
All right. Okay. We'll be back with you on Monday. Thanks for being here. What a week. Wow. Get a little tired on Friday nights sometimes. Glad to have you along. As always, we'll be with you right through the weekend at Rents Radio Network and, of course, on the website as well, where you can always expect to find reasonably important material to consider and better help to make your decisions with. Back soon. Take good care and think about preparing if you're not.